Our next speaker has been a leading figure in the major economic developments of the past four decades. Preston Martin is currently chairman of Martin Associates, a San Francisco-based financial services firm. Dr. Martin has also been vice chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and chairman of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, where he engineered the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation. In addition, he's the founder of Neighborhood Housing Services of America, dedicated to affordable housing in urban and rural areas throughout the United States, and the Social Compact, a group that recognizes affordable housing enterprise and minority-owned business financing. One of the principal architects of the adjustable rate mortgage when he served as Savings and Loan Commissioner for California, he was also the founding chairman and chief executive of PMI Mortgage Insurance Company and PMI Mortgage Corporation, and also served as CEO of Serico Corporation, part of the Sears Roebuck Group at that time. But before his extensive work in business and government, Preston was also professor of finance and director of the executive programs at the University of Southern California. He received his PhD in monetary economics from Indiana University, and more recently, he's the founder of graduate business schools in Italy and Pakistan. Surely a Renaissance man. It is a great pleasure to introduce Preston Martin.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. As you could tell from that overly lengthy introduction, I've had a desperate time making a living. in and out of government, in and out of public life. And I do appreciate following such a distinguished pair here, each of whom has made very sound and very intelligent analyses and made them understandable. I don't know whether that is going to hurt their tenure in their institutions or not. In my years at the University of Southern California, we were trying to develop a faculty the football team would be proud of. I also noticed that one of the outstanding participants in USC in those days, Richard Buxton is here, the fellow who has had the temerity to push all those corporations around the country into providing a methodology by which their employees could own stock in the company. Talk about a radical approach. Welcome to the group. So, given the magnitude of this problem and given the universality of its impact, think of the trillions of dollars that have been described here over the next 15 years, 20 years, and so forth. And consider for just a second, but you're already considering, the importance of Social Security reform to every individual in this country, to all of us, to everybody in this room, to everybody in this nation. And you notice that neither of our sevens mentioned one of these successful programs in Chile, or if you'll pardon the expression, the United Kingdom, the more or less disunited kingdom, or other parts of the world. The efforts there, based on a very different population distribution, age structure, and so forth. It's a little easier in Chile when you don't have so many old people. got a lot more of them than putting the money in than taking out. So it is such a plus for this institute to have brought more to all of our attention this perhaps the most fundamental economic and social, because there is a huge social side to it, issue of this country in which we live. know, the Goldilocks economy. Well, there is a wolf there at the door, and it says Social Security on the helmet that it's wearing. You know? And yes, we are successful. Yes, we have changed our economic system so successfully. Oh, there'll never be a recession? Well, you know, that's nonsense. Never inflation will come back? Right. You know, the tooth fairy's name is Sam. But we have fundamentally changed this economy and this society over these decades. We are so productive. We are so information-oriented, quantitatively, you know. All those nerds, that's no longer a deprecation. They've got all those nerds. They have their own language, too. Are you catching up to some of it? And our ability to restructure so much of our working labor force and to utilize the part-timers and to give people time off to work with their families and all the rest of it. What a fundamental change in the way we produce goods and services in the country. And you know, what is even more shocking is some of our Washington institutions have changed and adapted. And that gives some, he said, using typical weasel words, it gives some expectation that there can be a feasible reformation of the Social Security system. I give you the example of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, which has so fundamentally adapted to the globalization of the financial world. You know, the trading's only $2 trillion today, you know, on the foreign exchange and so forth. It's been a quiet day, only $2 trillion, you know, that's with a T. And you have the use of the central banking organizations, and it isn't all over the newsprint, thank God, and I don't mention it when I was on CNNFN today, believe me, but when the central bankers of the planet get together periodically in the ugliest city in Switzerland, namely Basel, or Ball, as they call it also, the Bank for International Settlements, and they cooperate in the management of the liquidity flows around the planet. You know, it's done so much better than it did in those years I served at the Fed, and I went to Ball there and tried not to get run over by the trains. You know, all that is in Switzerland is where all the trains come together. But the cooperative approach. And okay, so Brazil is changing its central banker about every other week. You know, I know it's not a perfect game, but think again of the crises first in Asia, in Russia, in Brazil, and in my days back at the Fed, all around Latin America, and the provision of liquidity when needed. Now, will it always work? You know? Well, the people say, well, it worked back last July. Of course it will not always work. But you have the setting of these goals internationally and the cooperativeness that is really unprecedented. Now, you know, what has that got to do with Social Security? Well, the reformation of the Social Security system does not easily provide an involvement of other Washington agencies in our nation's capital. And I have that article this morning, which I'm sure you saw as you did your preparation for this program. I know you don't come in here and wing it entirely. To suggest that the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve manage the trillion or $2 trillion or whatever it's going to be, you know, in the funds for Social Security in the future. I could tell you some dirty little stories about how the staff there manages the funds of their own retirement, and I won't. I refuse to answer any questions that any of you people will come out about that side of the Federal Reserve. But believe me, the central bank has enough to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, more than enough, in maintaining the international liquidity. And in deciding, is it still okay for the broadest measure of the money supply, the MZM, to increase 12% in the next 12 months? You know? With inflation running at 0 or 0.5%, you're going to increase the money supply 10%? Is that okay? You know, the implications of the making of policy now at 20th and Constitution, folks, does not lend itself to turning any part of the privatization of social, not very security, over to the central bank of this country. Now, the proposals, of course, to have any government agency controlling the investment side of 40% or 30% or 20%, whatever percent it is of the revenues. I suggest to you to recall the last big money management reform that we have lived through. You know? And it's called the Savings and Loan Bailout. Okay? You remember that one? Oh boy, the government's gonna fix that, right? And what is it costing us taxpayers over? Oh, you know, maybe it's only $150 billion. More like $600 or $700 billion. And I can still remember going back there and pleading with the various presidents and their august secretaries of the Treasury and whatnot, and pointing out that you pass that second banking act and tear up all those contracts for those tens of billions of dollars that have been raised, the bailout. And it wasn't a bailout, you know, to restructure these thrift institutions. Is that going to work? No. And a part of the $600 or $700 billion is going to cost all of us, of course, is the litigation against the federal government for its august planning and changes of all those contracts for the tens of billions of dollars, right? So to forget about the savings and loan debacle and suggest that some good old federal government agencies can do all these things, you know, is absolutely to forget a rather vivid page of recent history. So, what is my message today? My message today to you is stay involved in this. My message to you is so important to those kids of yours and your grandchildren and the future of the financial side of this country. But again, I commend the Institute for holding this session, and I plead with you to be involved in any way that you see fit. And every time you see that bloody congressman of yours or congresswoman, you know, give them that jab, give them that requirement that they act, you know, bore them to death with some really good, well-structured program to do something constructive about the largest financial aspect of the futures of every one of us in this room. Thank you very much.